Series on the Lord's Prayer. And so I'm reading this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, the sixth chapter. It's page 787 in your pew Bible. If you have your iPad, I don't know where it is. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 9 through 13 is what we're reading. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. This morning I want to spend some time talking about this passage in the Lord's Prayer where Jesus said, "Hallowed be your name." So I start with a question, and the question is this: do you value your name? Is your name important to you? Now I know that I value my name, and I value the names of others. So in other words, if you introduce yourself as Robert, I'm not going to call you Robbie or Rob. I'm going to call you Robert, unless you tell me differently. If your name is Christine, I'm not going to call you Chrissy or Chris. I'm going to call you Christine. Now, I value my name. And because I value my name, I have stopped giving my name at fast food restaurants. Because apparently, people who work at fast food restaurants cannot say the word Rodney. And I've heard my name pronounced over the microphone Rotney, R-O-T-N-E-Y, Rod, and Roddy. So from now on, when I go to a fast food restaurant, I give them my last name, West. And then I always say, just like the direction. Because the first person I gave it to, West, about 5 minutes later I heard, Wes, W-E-S. And I just sat there. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to sit here till they get it right. They never did, so I just went up and got it. So from now on I say it's West, just like the direction, and hoping they understand that there are four of those. Now, as we move into the Lord's Prayer, we come across this phrase, "Hallowed be thy name." So what does it mean to hallow the name of God? Well, the word hallow, H-A-L-L-O-W, is from the Greek hagios, H-A-G-I-O-S, and it's the word used for holy. So in other words, to hallow God's name means to make God's holy, to set apart his name as holy, to consider God as being holy, to treat God as if he were holy. If we were looking for a word in our language today that would be we reverence your name. We give your name reverence. In other words, we're saying your name is holy and to be reverenced on earth, even as it is holy and reverenced in heaven. We want to give God the unique reverence that is due his name, that is due his character, that is due his nature. So when we begin our prayers by saying, "Hallowed be your name," we're choosing to not rush into our prayers with our to-do list. Because so often, prayers are about, "Lord, I want to get to my to-do list as quick as possible. Let me tell you what I want. Let me tell you what I need." But when I begin my prayers by hallowing, reverencing, declaring holy is the name of the Lord, it causes me to pause before I present my list. Do you remember you were a child and you went to see Santa Claus and, you know, you would wait in line for that moment. This is your moment. And you finally get up to see Santa Claus. I can remember the old Sears out on the Appalachian Parkway, that Santa Claus didn't even get inside the store. He was sort of in the gardening area. that sort of outside area they had. And you'd wait in line, because then they weren't taking pictures of Santa Claus. It wasn't, you can see Santa Claus, but it's going to cost your mom and daddy $15 of pictures. You know, it was just, you go see Santa Claus, you wait in line, you get on his lap, and he says, you know, have you been a good boy or girl? Yes. And that was the only question you had to pass to get to the good part. Because the good part was, what do you want Santa Claus to bring you for Christmas? Well, prayer is not me coming to God and getting to the good part as quick as possible. Prayer is coming to God and recognizing that I am talking to God Almighty, the Maker, the Creator, the powerful one, the one who is able to do anything. I'm coming into his presence, first of all, recognizing who he is and what he can do. So why should we hallow the name of God? We should hallow the name of God, first of all, because God places value on his name. God thinks that his name is important. In fact, when you get into the book of Exodus and God is giving Moses the Ten Commandments, number three is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. God said, my name's important. Don't take my name in vain. Don't use my name foolishly. Don't just cast my name out. Don't let it be just a word you use. My name is holy. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 22, verse 2, God said this to Aaron and his sons. They are to separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, that they do not profane my holy name. I am the Lord. In the book of Psalm, the 29th Psalm, the second verse, David says, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. In Psalm 66, verse 2, sing out the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. In Psalm 72, verse 17, the psalmist said this, your name shall endure forever. Your name shall continue as long as the sun. The name of God, God places high value on his name. You know, sometimes when I'm meeting with business people, and I will be honest with you, I have to write names down. If I don't write it down and I'm talking to somebody, I'll forget their name. Particularly if I'm meeting with three or four people. So when I sit there, open up my portfolio, and I go to the back pad, and I get a pen, and I start writing down the names of the people I'm meeting with so that I don't call Bob Billy, and I don't call Mary Martha. Because people who take value on their name, they'll let you do that a couple times, and then they say, my name isn't Martha, my name's Mary. And then it's like, uh-oh. We value our names, and God values his name. There's a story in the Old Testament where Moses is leading the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land, and Moses is frustrated. He's dealt with it just like when Holly read the passage this morning from the Psalms, where Moses is giving a recount of all the things the children of Israel did to aggravate God, to frustrate God. And one of the times they are murmuring because there's no water. And God has, the first time he had Moses go out and water came out of the rock, and so they drank, and now they're murmuring again. And so God says to Moses in Numbers chapter 20, beginning in verse 7, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, take the rod. You and your brother Aaron gather the congregation together. Speak. And notice that. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. Now Moses has reached the breaking point with them. He's had it with them. So it says, so Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, and now you can hear his frustration, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? And then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and said, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me," there's that word, "to show me as being a holy, reverent God, as showing that I am not a God to be taken lightly, but I am God. You did not hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel." And now God says this, "Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." All the things that Moses went through with the children of Israel, the golden calf, the murmuring before the Red Sea, the murmuring because they were tired of eating manna and they wanted meat, what Holly read to us this morning, the murmuring about water, the murmuring about things were so much better. Moses went through all of that. And he gets them to the edge of the promised land. And God says, "Moses, you and your brother Aaron will not take them into the land because you did not show me. You did not reverence me, Moses. You didn't give me the honor that I am due. You didn't show me that I am valuable by your actions." God places high value on his name. Hallowing his name, I hallow his name in prayer, not only because God places value on his name, but I hallow his name in prayer because it helps me keep prayer in focus. As I mentioned to you earlier, it's so easy to think of prayer as a drive-through, where you just drive through, you place your order, you go to the next window, and boom, there it is. There's your answer. But God said, "Hallow my name," because hallowing his name in prayer reminds me that prayer is not about me, it's about him. It's not about me getting my needs met and me getting my problem solved and me getting the answer I wanted. Now, that's part of prayer, but that's not the focus of prayer. The focus of prayer is always about God. That's why as we go through this Lord's Prayer, you look at the first parts of it. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." What's the next part? "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The first part of the prayer is about God and about who he is and reverencing his name and recognizing that it's about his kingdom and it's about his will. It's not about my problem. It's not about my thing. It's about him. In the book of Exodus, the third chapter, Moses sees the burning bush and God gives him the call to go back to Egypt and bring my people out and bring them into the land which I swore to their father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Moses asked God one question. He says, "When I go back to them and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." When you go back to Egypt, you tell them, "I am has sent you." Isn't that a strange name? I am that I am. When you go back to Egypt and they ask who sent you to them, you tell them, "I am sent them to you." That was a name they were not familiar with, but it was a name they were going to become familiar with. I am the one who will open up the Red Sea. I am the one who will drown the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. I am the one who will bring you to the bitter waters and have a tree fall into it. And I am the one who will turn those waters sweet. I am the one who will feed you. I am the one who will bring manna. I am the one who will bring quail. I am the one who will cause water to come gushing out of a rock. I am the one who will defeat your enemies. I am going to be the pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I am. It was a name they were going to discover as they went through life. I am. God said this in 1 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 29. He says, give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring your offering, come before him. It's about him. He says, bring the glory, bring the Lord the glory that's due his name. And then bring your offering and then come before him. In John chapter 12, Jesus is preparing to go into the upper room to take this last meal with his disciples and then followed by the cross. And Jesus said this in John chapter 12, verse 27 and 28. He says, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Jesus realizes the cross is hours away from him. And he says, what should I ask? Should I ask God to save me from this hour? But then Jesus said, but for this purpose I came to this hour. So then Jesus says these four words, Father, glorify your name. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. God's name. God's name brought Jesus right into the focus of his prayer. He said, there's a part of me that wants to say, God, I don't want to go to the cross. Deliver me. Save me from the cross. But then he said, no, Father, here's what I will pray. Rather than praying, save me from the cross, I will say, Father, glorify your name. And the Father, understanding that Jesus understood the focus of prayer, said to him, I have glorified my name, and I will glorify my name again. So hallowing his name helps keep my prayer life in focus. And then lastly, hallowing his name gives me a glimpse of who he is. It's important for me. And I walk I don't mean to say a fine line, but in my life I have to remind myself because I'm a full, firm, total believer in the grace of God and in relationship with the Father. And knowing that I've been brought into that relationship by and through the shed blood of his son Jesus, but that I can come boldly, Paul said, to the throne of grace and know that there I'll find mercy and help in my time of need, and that I can call upon him at any time. He said, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that you do not know. He said, Isaiah, that while they're calling, I will hear, and while they're yet speaking, I will answer. So I'm a firm believer in that relationship as son with father, that I can come to him and say, Lord, I need this. I've got a problem. I need your help. I need your assistance. I need you to undertake. But at the same time, I have to remind myself that he is God. And there is a holiness and a reverence that is due him. You know, my dad, there was one thing my dad believed in firmly, and that is, you will respect me. My dad did not like being called old man. If you wanted to rile him, call him old man. My dad did not like to be disrespected. He did not like to be mocked. He considered all of that, you are disrespecting me. When you said, sir, to my dad, it better be, sir. Don't disrespect him even in saying, sir. It was, sir, yes, sir, and no, sir. And I would do that for my earthly father. And yet here is my heavenly father who is worthy of my respect and worthy of my reverence. And worthy of me, even though I know I can come before the throne of God boldly, and I can say, you are my father, and I'm your son, and I have a relationship with you, and I can talk to you about anything, and you hear and you understand. Yet at the same time, I come to him with the realization that you are God, and I am a mere human. You are God, and I'm a mere human. Hallowing his name gives me a glimpse of who he is. Moses had come down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments and saw the children of Israel had already, Aaron had already created a golden calf, and they were worshiping the golden calf, and they were saying to this golden calf, "You are the one who brought us out of Egypt." And Moses, in his anger, broke the Ten Commandments. He didn't just break the Ten Commandments. He then melted them and poured them, sprinkled them into the water, and made the children of Israel drink the water. You know, he wanted the word in them. So he caused them to drink the tablets that he had broken. But now Moses goes back up on the mountain of God to receive the Ten Commandments again. In Exodus chapter 34, beginning with verse 5, because preceding this, Moses has said to him, God told Moses, "I'm not going with you into the land of, taking you into the promised land, because if I take these people in the promised land, I'll destroy them along the way." And Moses is pleading with God and petitioning God and begging God to go with us. And finally, God relents and says, "I will go with you, Moses. I will go with them because of you." And so Moses then turns around and says, "Well, Lord, if you're going to go with us, show me your glory. Let me see you." In verse 5 of Exodus 34, it says, "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses there. And the Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before Moses, and he proclaimed, 'The Lord God.'" Now this is God giving Moses, sharing his glory with Moses, telling Moses who he is. He says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And now we see Moses' response to hearing the name of the Lord. It says, Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Job chapter 1, verse 21. Job has lost his possessions. He's lost his cattle, his sheep, his goats. He's lost everything. His 10 children have been killed in the collapse of a home. And this is what Moses said in verse 21 of the first chapter of the book of, what Job said in the 21st verse of the first chapter of the book of Job. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You see, grasping his name gives us a clear picture of who he is. That yes, you are my father. And yes, you are my friend. And yes, you are the one who sticks closer than a brother. But you are God. You are God. And what you say is right. And what you do is right. And what you say is true. And what you do is true. You are God. You see from a totally different perspective than I see. Who am I to come and tell you what you are to do? You're God. And when we hallow his name, it brings us back to the place of saying, "You're God. I'm not. You're God. You know what's best. You know the best way. You know the best timing." Sherry and I were having a conversation the other day about parenting. And we were talking about as parents, you have to walk that fine line between wanting to be your child's best friend and at the same time recognizing that you're the parent. And that's a fine line. Because as parents, we want our children to have everything they want, and we want all their problems resolved, and we don't want them to go through any kind of pain. We want to save them from all of that. We want to protect them as much as we can. And yet at the same time, you're the parent. And you have to work and operate in the role as a parent. And there are times that I just want God to be my friend. You know, let me complain to you. Let me tell you what I need. and tell you my problem, and God, just fix it. Just let's fix this. And I have to come to that place where I say, Lord, your name is to be hallowed and to be reverenced and to be holy. And yes, Lord, I've got problems. And yes, Lord, I have needs. And yes, Lord, there are things in my life that I wish were resolved. But Lord, you're God. And I want to begin this conversation by first of all laying out the groundwork. And it is this: you are God. You're the maker. You're the creator. I'm the creature. You're the maker. I'm the pot of clay. You're God. I want to encourage you this week as you pray to spend some time in prayer just hallowing his name. Just coming before him and saying, Father, you know the problems I have. You know the situations I'm facing. You know the needs that I have. But Lord, before I present you those needs, I just want to start this time together by saying, you are a holy God. You are a holy God. Your ways are not to be questioned. You're holy. You're right. You're good. You're merciful. You do forgive iniquity and transgression and sin. You are abounding in goodness and truth. You are the Lord God, merciful and gracious. And what we'll find is as we hallow his name in prayer, it begins to bring our whole prayer life and our whole prayer time into focus. Because you see, Jesus said, and we're going to pick this up, God willing, next week, that when I hallow his name, it brings me to the place where I can bow before him and say, Lord, before I give you my petitions and my problems and the things that I want done, I want you, first of all, to know that I believe that it is about your kingdom and it is about your will. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. But before I can get to that place of accepting the kingdom of God and the will of God, I have to first accept that he is God and that I'm just human. Father, your son Jesus, when asked by his disciple to teach us to pray, he gave us this prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. And Jesus said, when you pray this prayer, don't forget that it's God you're talking to. Remind us, Father, that our prayer is not about getting our problem solved as quickly as possible. It's not about getting the pain resolved as quickly as possible. It's not about getting the need met as quickly as possible. It's not our grocery list where we go through the things that we want you to do. It is about recognizing that you're a holy God. Merciful, kind, powerful, mighty. So Lord, today, teach us to hallow your name, to give your name the glory and the honor and the reverence that it is due, to not take your name in vain, to not use your name flippantly, to not use your name only when we're in anger, but Lord, to recognize that you value your name. I pray this in the beautiful name of your son Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together this morning.